As we approach Easter, I thought it would be really fun to pull two women from my Bible study, She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, two women that are the beginning and the end part of the resurrection story. And so we're going to be talking about Mary of Bethany and the week before the resurrection. And then we're going to be talking about Mary Magdalene and what happened after the resurrection. I thought it would be a fun way to talk about the resurrection and also look at this idea of how God uses women. Stay tuned. I pray this episode blesses you.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my Bible study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl. Today we're starting our Women of the Resurrection series. It's going to be a two-week series. This week we're going to be studying Mary of Bethany and what happened leading up to that week right before the resurrection and when Jesus went to the cross and the whole process. And we're looking at the way that Mary was involved in that story. This is one of my favorite portions of scripture, and it's part of the larger Bible study She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus. You can find that pretty much anywhere books are sold, or you can head to my website, shehears.org, to get a signed copy. So we're going to be in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8 this week, starting at verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't the perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Last week, we studied Martha, and there are so many of the things that we studied last week about Martha that are also true about Mary. And before we dive into this text that I just read, I want to also spend a little bit of time looking at Mary's perspective, kind of in contrast to the way that we studied Martha's perspective last week. So to do that, I want to look back at the first story that we considered at the beginning of the Martha study, and that is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It says, "Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but the only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." The first time we see Mary of Bethany, she is seated at the Lord's feet. And as you now know from what we studied last week, what we talked about, is sometimes that fact just irritated me when I read it. And my tendency has always been to side with Martha. I think I shared that last week, that I just have more of a Martha personality. But again, like I've said with each of these women, I want us to read with a fresh perspective. And it's a little bit harder because we studied so much of Mary last week. But I want to consider a couple things that are unique to Mary's story. Mary was most likely the younger of the two sisters. And so one of the things that I explained in the study itself is that scholars agree that Martha owned her own home. And so also, and this is something you can use for other passages of scripture, Martha's name is usually placed before Mary's when it's written in the text. And so this is a way that the authors of scripture would portray the age of someone. It was like a respect issue, and they would do it from oldest to youngest. So what we remember from last week is this expectation that Martha had, that she should be helping with the preparations as part of the host family. And yet here we see young, sweet Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so she likely knows that she should be in the kitchen helping, as the religious custom of having a rabbi in your home. Yet this was her teacher, her rabbi. And so sitting and listening to him was a place that she wanted to be the most. As a rabbi, and I want to think through this not with our Western lens, but with our first century Jewish culture lens, as a rabbi, Jesus would have been sitting at a low table or on a pillow on the ground. And so the disciples would sit around the rabbi to learn what he was teaching, and this phrase, sit at his feet, actually meant to learn from a rabbi. So Gamaliel is who Paul learned from. And we see something similar in Acts chapter 22, where we see him seated at Gamaliel's feet. And so it's an expression that is used to describe Mary as a disciple of Jesus.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.
Hey friends, with summer coming up before we know it, I wanted to share with you about one of our partners, Kids Across America Camps. For over 30 years, their mission has remained the same, to build Christian leaders by encouraging, equipping, and empowering urban youth and their mentors through camp and education. In both my own life and in the life of my daughters, camp has been a life-changing, future-altering experience. For many kids, this is not only the highlight of the summer, but their lives. Children and teens dedicate their lives to Christ. Young believers put down deep roots in the faith. The food, the games, the sports, the friends, it's so much fun. With Kids Across America Camps, many of the kids and teens they serve come from under-resourced communities. Finances are often the only thing standing between them and camp.
between them and an extraordinary first meeting with Jesus. What happens if they don't get to come? Well, more of the same. Many of these kids will spend all summer in environments that will keep them from being exposed to the love of Jesus and potentially exposing them to more violence, more crime, more alcohol and drugs. But if you send them to camp, everything can change. You can give towards camper scholarships that can truly make an eternal impact in the life of one of these students. Every gift counts. Even small gifts can be paired together to help sponsor a child to go to camp. But please don't wait. Only a few weeks remain before camp starts, and we want every deserving child and teen to be able to attend. Go online to give KAACamps, that's camps with a K, .org/hearingjesus. That's KAACamps.org/hearingjesus.
And how does Jesus respond to her? I think this is an important key. He welcomes her. And anyone who says women have no place serving in ministry does not fully understand how Jesus operated. Not only do we see Jesus welcome women and include them, but he commissions them to do the work of telling others about him. So as we move into the rest of this study this week, I want you to remember the posture of Mary's heart. The posture of her heart was one of a disciple. So now we're going to flash forward to the text of John 11 that we studied this week, or last week, I'm sorry. And so from studying, you know that Mary handled her grief differently than Martha did. As a reminder, in John chapter 20, verse 11, we see the two of them, and we see how Martha went out to meet Jesus, but Mary sat still in the house. And so given the context of what we now know about Mary, how does that change your opinion of what happened? Remember, we talked about sitting Shiva, and sitting Shiva was this practice of sitting in your home on the floor in your grief. So Mary in her grief, by sitting and staying inside the house, was actually following the religious and the cultural custom. And so the fact that she was a disciple of Jesus helps us to understand that perhaps she knew that she should stay put. Martha was the more brazen one, and she kind of dropped everything to go out and confront Jesus with her aggressive, faith-filled, confrontational style. But what happens next is one of my favorite aspects of the entire storyline of Scripture. Martha, who's still very much in her own grief, comes back to the house and says something to Mary. In the King James Version, it says, "The Master has come and calls for you." And to me, that's almost poetic, but I want you to think about what that means. Mary, who is sitting in her grief and probably her anger and certainly her religion, Jesus pursues her to get her to leave that place and to come to him. Sis, I want you to realize that those words are for you too. Grief is something that has become familiar to me. In the last couple of years, I suffered not only the loss of both my grandparents who raised me, but also a failed adoption. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. And so grief almost feels like a friend for me. I've gotten good at learning how to grieve, as sad as that is. Sorrow is an emotion that most people are not comfortable with, yet it's a normal response to our loss. And so for me, as a mom and as a ministry leader and just being in a busy season of life, it's always felt like there wasn't enough time for me to even grieve. And we serve, especially if we serve in ministry, there's almost this prescribed amount of time, even culturally, I guess, for everybody, a prescribed amount of time that's okay to grieve, but then people expect you to move on or at least pretend like you're okay. The thing is there's nothing normal about how you feel when you're grieving. And for me, grief has always felt like waves. There are moments of calm, even calm days, but then there's these big waves that come. And as time goes on, the waves get farther and farther apart, but they still come and they're unpredictable. And so sometimes I feel like Mary, I'm content to sit on the floor of my room and just be surrounded by my own heartbreak. It's easier than walking my grief out. And it's easier than Martha's reaction, which was to confront or be angry. And so my faith tells me that those things are not appropriate, even though the way that we get through those bigger emotions is by taking them to Jesus. But instead, I just sit. But listen to me, that place is not where Jesus wants us, hidden, alone, broken. Instead, what does he do? He comes for us. The Master has come, and he calls for you. In your grief, the Master has come, and he calls for you. In your pain, in your doubt, in your fear, the Master has come, and he calls for you. In your anger, the Master has come, and he calls for you. In your anxiety, the Master has come, and he calls for you. Says, no matter where you're sitting right now, no matter what mess you're sitting in, the Master has come, and he's calling for you. God, I pray for my friends that are listening today. I pray that as they realize in the hard moments of their lives, when their desire is to stay seated in the middle of their mess, that we see a picture in the scriptures of you as you pursue us because of who you are. God, I pray even right now that they would realize that you are pursuing them. Thank you for being a God that not only finds us where we're at, but calls us out of that mess. I thank you for the plan and the purpose you have in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey friends, before you go, real quick, I want to let you know that we have extra resources at shehears.org to help you grow in your faith. Whether you're looking for a new Bible or Bible tabs or additional Bible studies, I've curated a selection of some of my favorite things that I think you're really going to love. So with Easter coming up, I want to offer you 10% on the store. If you go to shehears.org and go to our shop on the resources page, you can enter the code HEARINGJESUS for 10% off between now and Easter. Happy shopping! Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.